It's one of the three most important weeks of our yearly church calendar. And let me just be your pastor for a moment and to reprove, rebuke, and exhort is a pastor's duty and privilege. But there are 3 weeks. The first one that happens on our church calendar is our missions conference, the last week of April, and we come together to awaken us to the world's need of Jesus Christ. We bring in missionaries and from all over that are going. Some are on furlough, some are on deputation trying to go to the field. And that's the idea of across the world. Jesus told us, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." That is an important week in our church. An important week. Behind that is this week that's coming up, Vacation Bible School. If missions conference is across the world, then Vacation Bible School is across the street. You can't say you care about the world if you don't care about your neighbor. And Vacation Bible School is that little boys and girls all around us that need Christ, that we could provide an opportunity, we could provide an environment, a safe place, a fun place. I love that in that video that one of the girls said, their bus captain said, they told us we could have fun, we could play games, and we could learn about the Bible and Jesus. That's still okay as far as I'm concerned. Vacation Bible School. And then beyond that, in the end of September, early October, is our yearly revival meeting, where we set aside a week to shake us from common complacency and revive our love for God and adjust our priorities. And if missions conference is across the world and Vacation Bible School is across the street, then revival meeting is in our hearts. In our hearts. And I just want to say again, as your pastor, could I just ask you, could I beg you to block those weeks out on your calendar? To just say, you know what, we're not going anywhere those weeks. We're not going to be away. I know we've got snowbirds, and listen, I've understood that there's nothing I could do about snowbirds except maybe pray for no snow, but that's not working that well. I understand those of you precious people go to Florida and you've worked your whole life to do that, but those of us that are here, let's not miss those weeks. Let's plan to be here for VBS and do something. Do our part. Amen. Be here for a revival meeting and just say, God, I need you to revive my heart. The thought tonight is, what is it in life that really matters? What is it in life that really matters? Well, if you ask the world, they'll say that money really matters. You know how I can tell? Every time the Powerball goes up into the 100 or 200 or 300 million, then everybody flocks to the stores and buys tickets. That tells me it really matters to them. And I tell you this, I think for some people, sports really matters. How do you know, Pastor? Have you seen the attendance at the Super Bowl? It's always packed. There's never an empty seat. People skip church to watch the Super Bowl. You know what it tells me? That's really important to them. I think sometimes perhaps it's lands or houses or possessions. Sometimes it's comfort. Sometimes it's health. Did you know you can be really right with God and in really poor health? Some people would tell you, no, that's not true. We preach the wealth, health, and prosperity gospel. Paul didn't. Nobody was more right with God than the Apostle Paul, and nobody was more physically afflicted than the Apostle Paul. Hey, go with me if you would. You're in Matthew 6, and we're going to come back there, but go with me if you would over to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke in chapter number 12, and we get an instance here of the world's thinking about importance. What's important? It starts out with a dispute in verse number 13, and you read there of chapter 12 of Luke, verse number 13, chapter 12, verse 13. It says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he defied the inheritance with me." This must have been a younger sibling. Sorry for you elder siblings, but why would he not give the inheritance to the oldest? Amen. It's just Bible. It says, "And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge and a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. You see here, first of all, by way of introduction, the rich man's plenty. But then in the next verse, it says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Boy, there's a lot of personal pronouns. I, thy. You can see him saying, what should I do? Well, I'll tell you what I should do. I don't know what I should do. Maybe I should do this. Just literally having a conversation with himself. You know what I see? Not only the rich man's plenty, but we see the rich man's pride. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you are here are today and you're retired, God gave you the abilities to work that job for all those years and invest your money wisely and all that. God gave you those abilities. If you're here today and you're of working age, I know we have some business owners. Listen to me. It's not because of you solely, though thank God for Christian character and Proverbs character traits, amen, that can help us a long way. But listen, it's God that giveth thee power to get wealth, the Bible says. So we see the rich man's plenty. We see his pride. We see his presumption in verse 19. Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Say, what was this presumption? Many years. Because what happened? This night. Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Plenty, pride, presumption. We see his peril in verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? See his provision there in verse 20. Hey, you know who got his stuff? He didn't. What's the parable? I really think it's all summed up in verse 21 and goes right along with our message tonight. What does it say there? So is he that layeth up treasure for who? For himself, and is not rich toward God. What really matters? What really matters? Well, we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 6, if you would. But I want to read a verse to you while you're turning there back to Matthew chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7 tells us what really matters. It says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Say, what really matters? Eternal things. Eternal things are what really matters. What really matters today, Pastor Donald, will matter a million years from now. What really matters today, the Bible says there in Colossians, I believe it's 3:1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, if you can get there, turn with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it's a tremendous verse. I'm just going to read it when I get there. If you don't get there, that's okay. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I can see your body. It's temporal. It's going in the ground. Amen? I love tombstones. When I go to the grave, I look at different tombstones, and I remember some of the great ones I've seen. I've, of course, seen Romans 8:28. I've seen Until the Day Break. But you know, Ben Franklin had a unique tombstone. It said, here lies Benjamin Franklin, food for worms. That's what it says on his tombstone. I'm looking at you. I see your body. I don't see your soul, but your soul's eternal. Your body's not. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Eternal things, ladies and gentlemen, are what really matters. And what we are going to engage in this week is a spiritual battle for eternal souls. Listen to me, teachers. Those boys and girls are going to drive you absolutely batty by the end of the week. How do you know, Pastor? I think, Brother Horsch, I think this is my 17th or 18th VBS. And I'm going to start a therapy group on Monday after VBS. Amen. It's people chewing their fingernails and got nervous ticks and all that. Why? Listen, the devil does not like what we're doing this week. I can tell you he doesn't like it. Because we are concerned about the souls of boys and girls. Why? Because that is what really matters. Read this chapter back in Matthew chapter 6. It's a great chapter of the Word of God. And it really, the key to the chapter is understanding that we have a Heavenly Father. It culminates in verse 32 of chapter 6 that your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Heavenly Father. He knows our needs, and He's keeping track. He's keeping His eye on us, and that's not always negative. It's positive. When I look at my children sometimes, it's because I can't take my eyes off them. I just love them so much. And God's a better Father than we are, amen? So you see, the relationship between a son and a father, verses 1 through 4, dealing with almsgiving. The word father is used twice there about not doing your alms before men, but doing them before your father. Verse 5 through 13 talks about our prayer before our father. Father is used four times there. Verses 14 and 15 deal with our forgiveness in our relationship with our father. No forgiveness with our brothers and sisters. No relationship with our father. No fellowship. And then it talks about fasting. I'll move right along. Not a popular Baptist doctrine right there. Verses 16 through 18, the word father is mentioned twice. What really matters? Let me show you first number one in verse 19, the command. What really matters? The command. It says there in chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Is it a sin to have wealth? No, it's not. How do you know, Pastor? The Scriptures tell us, if any man provide not for his own, what's he? Worse than an infidel. That's what it says. You say, but I thought it said not to lay up. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:14, the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor that he may give, that he may have to give to them that have need. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 tells us to do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Hard to do that if you don't have anything stored up. But what it's saying here is not that it's a sin to lay up. It's a sin to lay up for yourselves so that you can have this and have more and have. And again, I'm not against you having things. I'm really not. But I'll tell you what, things can lead to a love of things. And a love of things, as we'll see at the end, can diminish a love for God. Money's not the root of all evil. The love of money, according to 1 Timothy 6:10, is the root of all evil. Covetousness, Colossians 3:5 says, is idolatry. So there's a command there. But then we see the corruption also in verse 19. Not only the command, but the corruption. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. We see three different corruptors here. We see moths. And of course, we know moths eat garments. Oh, those moths. The only thing worse than moths is the smell of mothballs. Hallelujah. Amen. We see moths. Then we see marring. We see rust. Hey, Brother Tom, been in the aerospace industry. Brother Kelly, we know all about rust, don't we? anti-corrosion. I remember parts that would have to be silver plated because if they weren't, they were guaranteed to rust in the hot section of the engine. You know what? Earthly treasures, they not only moths can get them, but marring can get them. And then lastly, marauders can get them, can't they? Thieves. People that come and steal those earthly treasures. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? All earthly treasures fade, fail, or fall into the hands of somebody else. Let me say it again. All earthly treasures fade, fail, or fall into the hands of somebody else. You got that car that you're so enamored with that, you polish it and you get the wax and you got the diaper out and you're working it all. One day, listen to me, that thing is going to burn up if somebody doesn't steal it. it's going to rust out. You said, not on my watch, bless God, amen. I'm keeping it waxed and clean. It's just an earthly treasure. It's just an earthly treasure. I'm not saying we shouldn't be good stewards of that which God gives to us. I know, don't misinterpret me there. But the corruption, the command. Number three, we see the contrast, verse 20. The contrast. Look at verse 20, please. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. The command, the corruption, the contrast. Vance Havner said this: the vaults of heaven are moth-proof, rust-proof, and thief-proof. Amen. The vaults of heaven. All those who live for eternal things, by the way, which are others, which are souls, all those that live for eternal things and make regular deposits in heaven's bank may rest assured that all are safe. Jesse James can't get to heaven's bank. Amen? Listen, who's that guy that bilked all the people? Bernie Madoff can't get to heaven's bank. He can't do it. He can't do it. It's all safe there. I'm glad, Brother Horse, when I put my money in the offering, I know that's going. It's going into Flagstar Bank, but I know where it's really going. Going in Heaven's Bank. I know, hey, Brother Curry, when you start up that bus on Sunday morning, easiest rewards you ever got in your life, brother. Boom. Brother Curry drives down safely. Hallelujah, amen. Safely stop and picks up those little boys and girls that get saved in your class, Miss Christine. That get baptized up there in that baptistry. Rewards in heaven. What a contrast to our earthly treasures that all fade, fail, and fall into the hands of somebody else. Our heavenly treasures, no mistaking that they're all set. They're safe. Say, what's verse 21? Look at it. The command, the corruption, the contrast. Just the thought of that contrast between the earthly and the heavenly. It's such an incredible thing, the earthly treasures versus the heavenly. If you look at it there in verses 19 and 20, it's amazing when you think about it. You think about some people live their entire life for earthly treasures, and at the end of their life, they really have nothing. There's a great poem written by a poet named Robert Frost. He wrote it in 1923. It goes like this: nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her earthly leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down to day, nothing gold can stay. But in heaven, it's all gold, and it's all safe. The contrast, the corruption, the command. Look at verse 21. We see the core of it all. The core of it all. What's the core? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know why you're good to your kids? Well, that's what people do. No, trust me, a lot of people don't do that. You know why you're good to your kids? They're your treasure. And I'm, listen, that's okay. They're eternal souls. You're good to your kids because they're important to you. Long ago when they were born and mom spent hours and hours and hours and hours laboring with you kids, and all the moms said, amen. And dad stood there. You came out and you cried and you had slime all over you and they looked at you and right away you had their heart. Huh? Am I telling the truth or what? I'm not preaching now. I'm telling the truth. Amen. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can I apply that to eternal things? What really matters to you is shown by what you live for. Many of you know one of my hobbies is old-time radio. And one of my favorite programs through the years was the Jack Benny program. Just what a great job they did writing that character. And the most famous episode, it actually made the papers when he died, was an episode, I believe it was from 1950, called Your Money or Your Life. And Jack is walking and he has a Academy Award from his neighbor, which was Ronald Coleman. And he's walking and this man comes up to him and says, hey, buddy, you know, you got a light? And he says, yes, I do. And he said, all right, stick them up. And here, many of you know Jack Benny was super cheap. So he's holding a golden statue and he's getting robbed. And the man says, all right, buddy, give me your wallet, your money or your life. And there's this dead pause. And of course, the crowd begins to burst out laughing. And he says, I said your money or your life. And Jack says, I'm thinking it over. You know what was really important to the character of Jack Benny? Money. Hey, listen, and by the way, just a character. Listen, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, some people, if they lost all their money, they lose everything. I heard it put this way. Some people are so poor, all they have is money. What's the core of it all? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know where I see the treasure of our church? Right here on Sunday mornings. And by the way, all through the auditorium too. I know we got other children. Trust me, mine are some of the other children all over. But I see this precious group that needs somebody to care about them. And I praise God for a church that does. We'll see it all this week. The core is, you know what those little kids are? They're treasures. They're treasures. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look at the center in verses 22 and 23. You see the command, the corruption, the contrast, the core. And we see the center in verses 22 and 23. Interesting verses. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? By the way, just a sidebar, you ought to be careful for what you let your eyes see. Because it can either create light or it can create darkness. What is saying here is that our focus will determine what is important to us. I believe it was Jeremiah in Lamentations, and the verse, it's verse chapter 3, verse 51. He says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. And I think sometimes the reason we don't see up here on purpose is because we don't want our heart to be affected. If the bus kids ever bother you, I will be glad to take you to one of their homes. I'll be glad to. And you will change your attitude 180 degrees. I'll guarantee it. Well, we get cold, don't we? We get complacent. We get carnal. We look and we get annoyed. I'll tell you what, we just need to have our hearts readjusted. And we need to have that single eye, if thine eye be light. Have that eye on that eye on the prize, amen. The center is there, the core is there, the contrast is there, the corruption is there, the command is there. And then lastly, tonight, the choice is in verse 24. The choice. Say, what's the choice? No man can serve two masters. What is this passage about? It's the passage is about the difference between earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. That's what it's all about. And he says here, the choice, we see the solemn declaration at the beginning of the verse. No man can serve two masters, though many men have tried. You can't serve both. There's a solemn declaration. There's a singular devotion right there in verse 24. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Spoke to a young man this week on the computer, and a good young man. I like him. He comes here and he's a blessing. And he was telling me how much he loved heavy metal music. And you know what I told him, Brother Leonard? I didn't rip him to shreds. I said, I used to too, buddy. I used to love it. My whole portion, there's a portion of my life that was just all about heavy metal music. And I told him that. I said, you know, I was in a band, and I worked with another band, and I DJ'd a radio show, and you name it, my whole life was all about that. And he said, he said, I don't worship music. But in my heart, Brother Lowell, I said, you will. Yeah. You will. See, because you can't love something more than God and think that you'll not worship that thing. It says you'll love the one and hate the other. That's God doesn't make any, there's no distinguishment here. He says that there's a singular devotion. Either you'll love the one or hate the other. Hey, you'll either love earthly treasures and hate heavenly treasures, or you'll love heavenly treasures and hate earthly treasures. I love seeing an older Christian when things don't mean anything to them. By the way, it's a shame that we have to be older Christians to say that. But I love that. Brother Leonard and I were talking about that one time, just talking about how things come up and things are in our life, and there's nothing wrong with things as long as things don't have you. I've told the story before. I think it was Brother David Gibbs, Brother Gibbs, who told the story, and he talked about this man that had this preacher that was in such bad need of a car. He just always drove a clunker, and it was always breaking down. And finally, his church took up an offering and gave him a brand new Cadillac. I mean, a brand new Cadillac. It had all the bells and whistles, the seats that vibrate and heat up on you and all that. And he took Brother Gibbs around and he told him the story. And Brother Gibbs said, praise God, brother. I'm happy for you. That's awesome. Brother Gibbs said he came back about 6 months later and the old clunker was back. He said, brother, first of all, he said, you're picking me up at the airport. Where's the car? Amen. He said, I gave it away to a missionary. So they came to our church and they had nothing. And just the Lord spoke to my heart. And Brother Gibbs said, preacher, it wasn't even my car and I'm hurting for you. And the preacher said this, it only hurts to give it if you love it more than you love God. It's just which side? Which side do we really love? Is it those earthly treasures? Nothing wrong with vacation. Some of you need more vacation. You haven't taken a vacation in 15 years. You need a vacation. Amen. But don't live for the vacation. Live for VBS. What God's going to do. Live for that Sunday class. Those little boys and girls. The solemn declaration, the singular devotion, and the sacred division at the end of verse 24. It says this. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Had the privilege on Thursday night to preach at a tent meeting. And Brother Talbert came with me. And the case is, I was going to say sang. I think it's sung. Amen. And they did music. Hallelujah. And we were talking on the way home, and Brother Case started telling a story about Siamese twins. Like the old Guinness Book of World Records. How many of you remember seeing those? You know, the Siamese twins. These were connected at the kidney. You can't separate. And they literally married two preachers' daughters and had 19 children between the four of them or three of them or however many it is. Amen. But you know what? You couldn't split them. You'd kill them both if you split them. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't. You can't. People have been trying for a long time. Well, I could still have all this money and all these things and all these cars and boats and all that. You can, but you can't truly serve God if you're serving those things. Can't do it. We don't have any millionaires in our church. We don't have any people that have an abundance of things, I guess. I think some of us are pack rats and our spouses would probably tell us we are. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, what really matters is boys and girls, men and women, hearing the gospel. What really matters is us trying to reach a lost world. What really matters is Saturdays at Spartan Stadium. That really matters. That really matters. What really matters is when you go and pay for your groceries and you say, can I give you this? Can I give you some good news? Can I give you an invitation to our church? That's what really matters. That's what really matters. Do our kids matter? Absolutely. Those eternal souls that God gives us the stewardship of, that we love with all our heart. But I'll tell you what, other people matter too. I was just reading, I think it was Matthew 5. What do ye more than these? Even the publicans love their own. Even the publicans love their own. They love their own children. But we, the children of God, what really matters is us reaching out to a lost world. Let's do it. Let's do it this week. Amen. Let's do it this week. Let's not only do it this week, let's do it next week for Friend Day. Amen. Get on the horn. Get somebody on your heart, for where your heart is there, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Get somebody on your heart. Say, I've got to get them here. I'll tell you what I'm preaching on already. I'm preaching on Mephibosheth. And I'm going to preach on why nobody is named Mephibosheth. No, I'm not going to preach on that. I'm going to preach on for Jonathan's sake. You know why David wanted to be kind to Mephibosheth? Because he had a friend named Jonathan. We're just going to be Friend Day, amen. You invite somebody. What really matters? Souls. People. People are what really matters. Pastor Mark, would you come to the piano? Would you play People Need the Lord, brother? I don't know what page that is. I know you probably know it. People Need the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe you want to come. Maybe you've not had that single vision, that core. Maybe you've had your treasure in other things. I don't know. I know it's pretty easy to do. I've done it many times. Put things before God and then pretended I loved Him. And I had to go to Him and say, I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. It's page 91 in your hymnal if you want to get there. Page number 91. We'll sing it out. Give you an opportunity to come if you'd like to as we sing.